Well, before they come to be baptized, let me just remind you, and for those of you who may be visiting with us tonight, make sure that you're clear on what this is about. In Matthew 28, our Lord gives the Great Commission, and he says, I've been given all authority, and in light of that authority, I want you to go and make disciples for me of all the nations. That is, bring people to understand their sin, the need for my salvation, and a willingness to follow me as Lord. That's the gospel, and that is, in fact, what he said to go and proclaim. And then he said, once you've made disciples, once a person has actually become my follower, once they have been delivered from their sins and forgiven, then I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful picture. That's all this really is. Nothing happens here. There's no miracle in the water. There's no spiritual event that takes place in the hearts of those who will be baptized. It is instead a public profession that they are now followers of Jesus Christ. It's also a powerful picture of what's happened to them. The Bible says that when we come to faith in Christ, it's as if we died with Christ on the cross. We're buried with him and have with him been raised to new life. And that's the picture. As I put them under the water, it's a reminder that the person they used to be has died and has been buried with Christ, and they have been raised as Christ was raised to a new life now with him. So it's a picture and a profound picture. And I know you'll enjoy their testimonies. I hope you'll be praying for each of them as they come to share with us this evening.
Hello. My name is Stephen Tyler, and I've been attending Countryside Bible Church for the last 2 years. My life before salvation was characterized by being in the middle of what the world had to offer. I was involved with drugs, alcohol, and was very rebellious. Everyone I surrounded myself with were the same way. I rejected any and all thought about who God was and wanted nothing to do with him. These patterns of sin eventually led me to being admitted into a program recommended through Countryside called His Steps Ministries in Woodstock, Georgia. One of the first things that was taught to me was the gospel and that I had to repent of my sins and put my faith in Christ Jesus as my Savior. Through him, I could, Ephesians 4:21-24. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. God has enabled me to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The first book I read that explained all this clearly to me was What is the Gospel by Greg Gilbert. God has since opened my eyes to seeing and feeling the weight and impact of my sin, making Romans 12:12 a reality in my life through the Holy Spirit, allowing me to turn to Jesus and put my faith in him, enabling me to repent of my sins. Since my salvation, Christ has enabled me to continue to grow in my faith through the shepherding of the saints and the teaching of God's word here at Countryside. The Holy Spirit is constantly cultivating a desire to worship and serve him every day through reading and studying God's word, and that is why I'm here today.
Well, Stephen, thank you for your testimony, and thank you for the clarity of the fact that God brought you to realize that you had constructed idols, that you were worshiping instead of him, and brought you to understand that instead you needed to embrace Christ. You needed to turn from those idols and put your faith in Christ and him alone. Because he has brought you to that place, and because of your clear profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Great job.
Good evening. My name is Megan Bone, and this is my testimony. Before salvation, I was a typical kid who needed the Lord. I was selfish, disobedient, greedy, and proud. But I also had a big problem with lying. My goal, like any foolish child, was to get out of trouble, and I frequently tried to do this by telling false things. One This included things from shifting the blame to just simply denying the truth. But one day during school, when I was about 6, my mom was talking with me and my siblings about hell, not necessarily in a way to intimidate us, but very matter-of-factly. Still, I remember being terrified. The thought of being thrown into a lake of fire and being eternally separated from God really opened my eyes, and I began to fear. It was a fear that Matthew describes, a fear of him who can destroy both the body and the soul. My need for a savior became evident. Mom says I began to verbally proclaim my fear of hell. I did not want to go there. It was then that my brother David began to share simple verses like Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that no man can boast, and John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life. These verses helped me understand my sin and explain the way of salvation. Then we prayed, and with David's guidance, I acknowledged my need for a Savior and asked him to come and rule my life. Although my profession of faith happened when I was younger, my heart did not begin to really change until I was 11 or 12. Then, like a babe, I began to long for the pure milk of the Word. I started trying to live in a way that would glorify my Lord. I truly began to hunger and thirst for righteousness. But I am not perfect, and obedience is not easy. But I now follow Paul's instructions to the Philippians when he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And every day I trust him to use me. For in Philippians 2:13 it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So now, with the help of a loving family, many encouraging friends, and great teachers who accurately present the scriptures, I daily strive to be more like Christ. Reading his word and cultivating a prayer life have helped me to fall deeper in love with my Lord. What used to be a burden, things like attending church, studying the Bible, and memorizing his word, is now a joy. Obedience to Christ is now my calling. So that is why I am here, to follow in obedience to the Lord and be baptized.
Megan, thank you so much for your testimony. We're so grateful for the grace of God. And as we have sung together tonight, and in that familiar hymn, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. It was God's grace that brought you to fear him, and ultimately to come to know him now, not as a fearful judge, but as a loving father. Because you have repented of your sins, because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and your confidence is in him alone as your only hope of salvation, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Jessica Rivera. Growing up in a non-Christian home with my dad, my life was filled with so much sin. I did not honor my parents like I should have, and I was very selfish. I believed that everything revolved around me. By the age of 9, I transferred from my dad's home to go and live with my mom and Joe in Virginia. As I grew up, they brought the word of God to me. They quoted from James 3:6, "The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell." When they brought this verse to me, I realized how wicked my tongue was and that I needed to be careful about what I say. They also consistently nailed into my head that God commands us to obey our parents and honor them. Ephesians 6:1 through 3 states, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on earth." Being confronted with this verse, it hurt to see that I did not do as God had commanded. I felt the pain of Scripture addressing the sin in my life, and I was at the end of myself. So I went and talked to my mom and Joe about the weight that has been on my heart, and they told me if I believe in the one true God, his word, and what I'm doing violates his law, then I should ask God to change my heart according to his will and repent of my sin. By this time in my life, I realized God was working in my heart and had a bigger plan for me than what I expected. Staying committed to God's word by reading and fellowshipping with others, God has opened my eyes to see that I am truly grateful. I did not deserve the riches that God has bestowed on me, but God is gracious in that while being the wretched sinner that I am, Christ died on the cross as a substitute in our place so that we will be saved, being made alive in him. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. Worshiping a God, the one true God, who died in our place where there is no sin to be found in him and was perfect and righteous in all his ways, I am thankful and willing to submit my life to him completely." As Paul stated in Philippians 3:13-14, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. After turning away from my sin and God making it right in my life, I left my past and look forward to our ultimate goal, which is eternal life with Christ Jesus. We are to be a reflection of him and long to be with him every day. So I stand before you today openly confessing my submission to God and commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ."
Jessica, because clearly the law of God has done its work in your life, pointing out your sin, bringing you to see your desperate need of salvation, and because the gospel has answered that need, and you have come to believe that gospel message, you've come to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, to be willing to turn from your sin and to believe in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Becca. By cultural standards, I was a pretty good kid growing up. I aimed to please my parents, my teachers, and my peers. This was mostly true up until the end of high school. As is common for young people, I struggled with feeling confused, unfulfilled, and lacking in purpose. I wanted to have faith in God, but frankly, I was just too busy wandering. Instead, my choices were based on emotions not adequately connected to a deep root of knowledge, trust, and satisfaction in God's sovereign grace. This poor reasoning eventually led me down a path of destruction. I often did harmful things to satisfy the desires to which I felt entitled. It may have meant lying or wounding the spirits of those who cared for me. Living by these principles was painful and lonely. I knew I wasn't trustworthy. There was no way for me to redeem myself. Years later, I was recovered from my worst behavioral patterns, but I did not feel redeemed. I was changed on the outside, but my heart was still in agony with guilt and shame, which kept me distanced from God. But in October 2007, I was blessed with a gift I couldn't have been more undeserving of. My husband and I welcomed our first son, Gus, to the world. I was filled with joy, but I was more terrified than I'd ever been in my entire life. I didn't know anything about being a Christian, but at that moment, I realized I had a duty to learn. I cried out in prayer, asking God for forgiveness and that he would renew my spirit and help me in my understanding. I have much to take in, but this is what I've been shown. The heart of the gospel is redemption, and the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I learned that the death of our Lord exhibits divine justice for all our sins, since we are all eternally lost in. I've learned I can let go of the guilt and shame, because through the sacrifice of Christ and my repentance, I will be forgiven. Colossians 1:21-23. Our evil works make us enemies, alienated from God, but through Jesus' death, we can be reconciled. I know my works will never be enough to get me into the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 states, "For by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Feeling secure in these truths provides me with deep comfort. The agony that had afflicted my heart has left me. I am so thankful that God gives us these fresh opportunities to look at Him again, to look at His Word again, and to start again, and develop new patterns and routines in our lives. My husband and I have set out with a new meaningful purpose, to share the gospel with both of our sons and anyone else whom we may be able. For it is the truth in these gospels that have united me with those who are redeemed through faith in Christ. From Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why I'm here tonight.
Rebecca, thank you so much for the clarity of your testimony, for reminding us that at the heart of the gospel is the fact that Jesus died as a substitute in the place of those who would believe. Because you have come to understand that, because you have put your complete faith in Him and in His death on your behalf to fully satisfy God's wrath against your sin, to make you His own, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Audrey, and this is my testimony. From the time I was a child through young adulthood, I was very prideful, rebellious, self-centered, and ruled by my physical desires. Ephesians 2:1-2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Although my parents loved me very much, I was not raised in a Christian home and I was not exposed to the Bible while growing up. I did feel a sense that God existed, and I often prayed for material things, the way children do, but I didn't know who Jesus was. Then, when I was in my early 20s, a friend I had met through my job told me about Jesus and why she believed in him. I told her I was skeptical because of the hypocritical evangelist I had seen or heard about on TV, but my friend didn't seem like them at all. She told me to be very careful of who I trusted, because many people were not what they claimed to be. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." I had many questions for her, and she very patiently and calmly answered them. At that time in my life, I thought I was basically a good person, and I figured I'd find favor with God as long as I didn't hurt anyone else. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Eventually, my friend married and moved away to England for mission work, and I continued to search for the truth about God and life and why I'm here and where I'm going. I tried reading the Bible, but it was hard for me to understand, and I never knew where to start. Sometimes I attended church services at various places, including Unitarian churches, but I still wasn't sure what I believed. When I was 27, I met my husband, and we were married a year later. We were both searching for answers about God, and we began going to a Bible church in Denton. It was far from our home, so we didn't go often, but I was happy to finally find a church where I felt I was learning about the Bible. Everything our pastor taught made sense, and I knew I believed in God, but I still didn't know how to be sure about Jesus. I began reading as many books as I could about Jesus and Christianity. Then one day, when I was 29, at home alone, listening to a Christian music radio station, I realized I needed to ask God to tell me what was really true. So I prayed, and I asked God to let me know whether Jesus really was his divine son or not, and to show me his truth and about salvation. Immediately, the DJ on the radio said, "This next song is for Audrey," and they played a song about pride. I didn't even realize they were doing dedications, and I had never heard the song before or since. I knew right then that God wanted me to put my faith in Jesus, that he truly is God's divine son, and that through his death and resurrection, Jesus paid the price for my sins. And that is when I prayed to God and confessed that I was a sinner full of pride and that I needed Jesus to save me from my sins. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Since coming to Christ, I have found a church home here at Countryside, which is close to where I live and where I can worship and learn more about God and his purposes. I have been blessed with good health, a loving and supportive husband, beautiful children, and more. Most of all, I now know how much God loves me. And every day I am thankful and humbled by his grace and immense patience with me. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. My relationship with God has grown through reading and meditating on Scripture daily, praying several times a day, participating in some Bible studies, attending weekly worship services at Countryside, and by sharing God's word with my children. I am continually thankful for how much God is teaching me through his word, and I recently learned that Jesus commanded all of his followers to be baptized. Matthew 28:18-20 says, And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So tonight I am here to publicly profess my faith in Jesus and be baptized.
Well, Audrey, thank you. You know, it is so good of God, isn't it, to, in his providence, structure even a song on a radio station to bring back the truth that you had already learned from his word and to confirm that in your mind. Because your confidence is in the truth of God that you have learned from his word, because your faith is in Jesus Christ and him alone as your only hope of eternal life, because you have committed to follow him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Bethany Ober. I've always grown up in a Christian home and have been attending Countryside my whole life. I knew from a very young age that the Bible contained the true words of God and that Christ died on the cross to take away the punishment for my sins. I could always recite the gospel verses and was seen as the good Christian girl from the outside, but my heart on the inside was portraying something different. Even though I knew all the right answers and verses, my heart was still struggling with sin. I would sin repeatedly. I lied, cheated, and one of the areas I struggled most with was obeying and honoring my parents. When I was 9 years old, I was at Sunday school, and my teacher asked if any of us wanted to go into the hall and talk about Christ becoming Lord of our life. I went out with my teacher, and she explained to me in more detail that I was a great sinner. She quoted Romans 3:23 to me, which says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. From the beginning, I was born a sinner. I hadn't lived a moment in my life that I hadn't sinned against God, but there was great hope and salvation in Christ. Ephesians 2:8-10 states, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Because of God's grace and sovereignty, he had come to take away my sins. He didn't have to do it, but through his love, he chose to come and take the punishment for me. I said a prayer asking Christ to forgive me of my sins. I believe that he was the only way to eternal hope and peace, and that he had died to take away my sins. After I said this prayer, I thought I was saved, but not much changed about how I lived my life. I thought more about what Christ had done for me, but I was still living my sinful ways and wasn't attempting to stop. Throughout this time, I still continued to go on missions trips and help with multiple activities here at church. It was not until 1 year in high school that I came to realize that I was not living the way Christ wanted me to. Philippians 1:27a confirms, Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I was not doing that. I was walking the complete opposite of the gospel. I was the Lord of my life. One way that I realized my sin was with my attitude toward my parents. I wouldn't answer in a respectful way. I was short and rude with my answers. My mom continuously pointed this out to me, and one day it finally sunk in. The way I was living was contradicting what I claimed to believe. This made me begin to ponder again my true salvation. I understood that I was putting my wants in front of God's and was still living the way I wanted to. I thought of Acts 4:12, which states, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." I had made myself the God in my life. I was convicted and wanted assurance of my salvation. I prayed and asked Christ to forgive me of my sins, and this time I sincerely meant it. Since I have placed my faith in Christ, I've been striving to display a Christian life. I want to honor God with all my actions and words and glorify Him. I want to give Him the honor He deserves. I began reading through 1 John, and it brought me great hope and peace that I was no longer in darkness, but had been brought into the light. 1 John 1:6-7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Since then, I have been striving to grow more in Christ as much as I can. I strive to read my Bible daily and to consistently meditate on His Word. I faithfully attend church and Sunday school and serve in several ministries to help serve the body of Christ and to show His love to others. I desire to learn more about Him and study His Word, and I pray to the Holy Spirit for help. After each lesson I hear, I am convicted more and more to go out and change my life to be a better disciple for Christ. I want to share the greatness that Christ has done in my life with others. I want to obey Him and do what He has commanded me to do, and that is why I am here tonight.
Bethany, thank you for your clear testimony of faith in Christ. It's such an encouragement to see God's work in a variety of ways in our lives and bringing us along where initially you understood the gospel but didn't really commit yourself to follow Christ. That was still the grace of God to let you see the truth. But we're so grateful that He brought you ultimately to see that you had to commit yourself to Christ. And so we're grateful for that testimony because you have come to understand that it's not enough to make a prayer or a confession alone. But there must be a genuine heart change. There must be repentance and faith. And because you've come to put your faith in Christ and to repent of your sins, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's remarkable, isn't it, the different way that God brings people to Himself from Christian homes and through that path and through other paths as well. I hope you've heard the points of similarity between the testimonies tonight, because those points of similarity are really the gospel. Each of these whom you've heard were brought to a place where they came to understand that God was their righteous creator, that He made them and He had claims on their lives, that He had a right to tell them what to do. But at the same time, they were brought to see that they were in fact rebellious sinners. God wrote the substance of His law on their hearts. They had the scripture, and through those things, they came to understand that in fact, they had not kept their righteous creator's laws. But as all of us have, they violated them. They sinned against their God and the one who has provided all things, including their life itself. But then they came to understand that God is not only a holy and righteous and just God who demands punishment for every single sin, but He's also a loving and gracious God who made a way in His love and grace to send His own Son to become one of us, to become fully human while He continued to be fully God, to live a perfect life, 33 years with no sinful thought, no sinful word, no sinful act, the absolute opposite of all of our lives. He lived the life you should have lived, I should have lived. And then He offered Himself as a substitutionary sacrifice God on the cross poured out his just wrath against the sin of everyone who would ever believe on Jesus. Jesus took the blame. He took the wrath. And he fully satisfied the justice of God for every person who would believe. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And now he is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. One day he will come again. The other part of the testimonies that you heard tonight is the reality that there had to be a response. And not a half-hearted, yes, I believe that, yes, I'll pray that prayer response, but a response of the heart that is willing to turn from sin. The Bible calls that repentance. There must be a willingness to turn from everything you know to be sin and to turn to Christ. The Bible calls that salvation, conversion. When you come to that place and you put your faith and confidence outside of yourself, outside of anything you've done, outside of who you are, and you place it completely in Jesus Christ, in his perfect life lived for you, and in his substitutionary death died in your place. That's the response God requires. And we express that response by crying out to him, or as the Bible calls it, calling upon him. There has to be a point in our lives when we come to realize who we are, we come to realize who God is, we come to realize who Christ is, and we fall on our knees, humbling ourselves and say, "Oh God, I've sinned against you, my righteous Creator, the one who provides all good things. I deserve your wrath, but I pray that you would take the death of Jesus in my place. Change me. Turn my heart." That's the gospel. And that's what you heard in the testimonies tonight. That's exactly what has transpired and of what they have shared. I hope that you will choose one or more of these who've been baptized tonight, and you will intentionally remember them in prayer in the weeks ahead. Let them know that as you see them around. Just let them know you were encouraged by their testimonies and that you'll be praying for them, for God's continued work in their hearts. Reach out to them in that way. And let me just say, if you're here tonight and you're not in Christ, you can respond to him the way these have responded. And God will respond to you in the same way he's responded to them, with forgiveness, with a new heart, new affections, new desires, new power to say no to sin, and a love for Jesus Christ that will cause you to want to follow him as well. I hope before you pillow your head tonight, you'll find yourself alone with God, pouring out your heart to him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are amazed at your grace. We have sung about it and we have heard it recited in the testimonies that we've heard tonight. We thank you for the clarity of the testimonies. We thank you for the encouragement that it was to us. And Lord, we do pray for each of them that you would continue the work you have begun. You have promised that you will. And so, Father, with that in mind, we pray for Stephen and for Megan, for Jessica and Rebecca, for Audrey and Bethany. And we ask, Father, in every case, that you would take them from where they are spiritually and enable them to continue to grow in their love for Christ, in their devotion to Christ, in their obedience to Christ. And Father, I ask that you would use all of their life experiences to date and the ones that are yet to come to deepen their love for Christ and their commitment to follow him as Lord. We also pray, Father, for anyone who might be here tonight. Undoubtedly, there are a number who are here who need to respond to the gospel. Maybe at some distant point in the past, they prayed a prayer like Bethany did, but they refused to really acknowledge Jesus as Lord. I pray that this would be the day, this would be the hour, this would be the night when they would truly humble themselves before you and cry out for your grace to be manifest in their lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.